Okay, we are in Simon Reish Tezayim, Berkas Areach. I think we're up to Sif Gimel. So Sif Gimel, we have a very important question, which is, what is the gader of an eitz for the purposes of the bracha borei ate b'samin? More specifically, is it the same gader as what we would say with respect to borei pri ha'etz on fruits, where the Gemara said gizel machlef? We discussed extensively what that meant. Or perhaps it's different. So if you take a look at the Bir Halacha over here, he points out that this is a machlokas rishonim. The Ritva, among others, says that it has a different hagdara than when it comes to borei pri ha'etz. And the Rashba, more or less, says that it is the same hagdara. When we learned the Gemara, we saw that Rashi sounded more like the Ritva. The Gemara said that simulak is borei atzi b'samim. Rashi said that was jasmine. And Rashi said it's min esev. In other words, it's not a eitz, it's a min esev, but still you say atze b'samim. And how do we know that? So Rashi invokes what the Gemara says in a moment, that we learn from the fact that the pasuk says at the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, v'atitz minem b'pishtei ha'eitz, that even though pishtan isn't really a tree either, because it has a hard stock, it's sort of wood-like, and that's enough to say borei ate b'samim, even though it wouldn't have dino ka'etz. And this is also the view, like we said, of the shilta giborim. So let's say you had something with a hard stock, but it was mischalif, mishana l'shana l'chorif, from the shilta giborim, at the very least, it sounds like the bracha would be ate b'samim. And we, as we mentioned, the Rashba disagrees. It sounds like they're actually disagreeing about 2 points, if you think about it, because the Rashba says that in this case you would say isve besamim, and according to the Shilta Giborim, you couldn't say isve besamim, you'd say ate besamim. It's not an asev because it's kasha, and therefore they're arguing both about the gather of isve and about ate. Could be, in fact, that's why the Shilta Giborim holds this way, because since the alternative here, what will, let's say like this way, why would it be different than fruits and vegetables? In other words, a pashup shot is like the Rashba, right? If it's considered an eitz for purposes of borei pri ha'etz, one would expect that it would likewise be considered eitz with respect to atzei b'samim. Why would you be mechalik? So l'chora, the reason to be mechalik is because the alternative bracha to atzei b'samim is isvei b'samim. So the Shilta Giborim is saying, look, you can't say isvei b'samim if it's hard. It's not an asev. An asev implies something that's flexible, that blows in the wind, not something with a wood-like stem. So therefore, since you can't say isvei b'samim, it's more correct to say atzei b'samim. Why? Because according to a certain definition of eitz that we find by Pishtan, so this would qualify as an eitz. And that l'chora is the svar. So they're arguing both, like I said, both with respect to isvei b'samim, where the Rashba says asev could mean something hard, and the Shilta Giborim saying no, asev is only something soft. And they're also arguing about what's the definition of atzei b'samim, where the Rashba is saying it means the same thing as it always means, in gizel machlef. And the Shilta Giborim is saying, no, anything that's wood-like, that's hard, is considered atzei b'samim. So how do we paskin? So the Bir Halacha writes, it's hard to be machria, and therefore you should make a borei mine b'samim. Since you have a suffix, is it atzei or isvei? So therefore make a mine, even though you could say, well, 1 second, that's not correct according to any opinion, but that's because we paskin that mine b'samim works b'diavim. Now, that's an interesting hara, which is, if here we see another, sort of the same thing we just said, but to spell it out, when it comes to a suffix of a fruit, or whether we don't know if it's a borei pri ha'etz or borei pri ha'adamah, what bracha do we make? We make a borei pri ha'adamah. But the whole point of the Shilta Giborim is we don't have that option over here, because asev is a more specific definition. Asev has to be a grass. If it's not a grass, if it's not an asev, then you can't make isvei b'samim. So as opposed to when it comes to fruits where we say, well, if it's not borei pri ha'etz, at the very least b'diavad, borei pri ha'adamah would work, the Shilta Giborim is saying, no, It's not true here. Esav has a specific connotation. And that's why the Bir Halacha is saying, Halach Lamaisa, when you don't know whether it's Ate Besamim or Isve Besamim, the correct thing to do is not to make an Isve Besamim, but actually to make a Bor Mine Besamim. Now that point is not at all clear. And in fact, L'chora, it's debated. If you take a look at the Rokeach, which is quoted in Sif Hei of the Beis Yosef, this is the point that the two of you brought to my attention a couple of days ago. So the Rokeach writes that B'di'evet indicates, at least, that B'di'evet Isvei B'samim will work. In other words, Isvei B'samim is like a Bor Pri Adama, even if it's technically an Atze B'samim, B'di'evet Isvei B'samim works. How do I know that's the view of the Rokeach? Because the Rokeach writes that when you have two smells, one is Ate B'samim and one is Isve B'samim. So the question is, which one should go first? So the Rokeach says, Ate B'samim comes first. Why is that? So the Beis Yosef explained, that's because the Rokeach holds like the Bahag. The Bahag, if you remember, said that whenever you have Bori Pri Eitz and Bori Pri Adama, Bori Pri Eitz always goes first because it's more narrow and Adama is more koleles. So too, when you have Ati B'samim and Isve B'samim, the Isve B'samim should come first. Now, if you assume, like the Shilta Giborim, that an Esav has a particular definition and an Eitz has a particular definition, so there should be no hierarchy in terms of generality here. Why would you say Isve B'samim comes first? So the way the Beis Yosef, at least, understands the Rokeach is holding that Isve B'samim is a bracha koleles, just like a Bori Pri Adama. However, the Bach disagrees. The Bach says, no, if you were to make the bracha of Atze B'samim on Isve B'samim, lo yatza. Why? Because Asavim is not kolel eitz. So that's going to be more like the opinion of who? Like the Shilta Giborim. So how do we paskin? So, and that's quoted also over here in the Magen Avraham, this Bach Sif Katan Tes Zayin in the Magen Avraham, who makes this diak, that from the Rokeach you see, at least the way the Beis Yosef understood the Rokeach, that it's a dispute between the Rokeach and the Bach. So the Mishnah Brura, Sif Katan Lamed Ches, paskins like the Bach, not like the Beis Yosef B'dasa Rokeach. And that's why we said that Lemaisa, when you have a Suffolk, Borei Atze B'samim or Borei Isve B'samim, the correct thing to do is to make a Borei Mide B'samim, like the Bach, and as we said, maybe along the lines of the Shilta Giborim. Now, what should you do in terms of Kedima? So then, if really, well, first of all, just like we would paskin anyway by food, we don't paskin like that Bahag. We would say if there's a chavid, that should come first. So if you have two things, you have a hadasim, which are atzei besamim, and mint, which is isvei besamim, and you're trying to figure out which one comes first. So we would say the chavid, make the chavid. Let's say they're both the same. So then you may as well go ahead and say the Atze B'samim first. Why? Because at least the Rokeach, you have the Rokeach. In other words, there's no other, we don't totally reject the Rokeach. So you may as well follow the Rokeach when all other things are equal. There's a big machlokas Rishonim over here about the bracha that you make on cinnamon. First of all, last time, so we're not going to return to this, we discussed the two types of cinnamon, the one cinnamon discussed in Sif Beis and versus Sif Gimel. The one discussed in Sif Beis is the cinnamon that we, not the cinnamon mentioned in this week's Parsha, but the cinnamon that we put in our foods, the spice called cinnamon. And there's machlokes Rishonim, which bracha do you make on that? Do you make an Atze B'samim or do you make Reach Tov B'Peros? The argument to make Reach Tov B'Peros is that this is primarily consumed in Achila. The argument to make an Atze B'samim is because it comes from a tree. So what's the halacha? So the Torah quotes that according to the Maharam, the correct bracha is Atze B'samim. According to the Rosh, the correct bracha is Hanosim Reach Tov B'Peros. So what's it sad to say Atze B'samim and not just Reach Tov B'Peros? Of course, what the Rosh says makes a lot of sense. So it could be that the answer is that it's not really a pre. So maybe, just like we saw by Bore Prihaitz, the Mishnah Berurah at least was in favor of this argument. He thought that the Rambam held this way. You could only make a Bore Prihaitz if it's a pre. For example, with respect to sugarcane, you can't make a Prihaitz because it's a stalk. It's not a pre. So maybe the same thing here. Maybe that's the pshat. But that's not obvious because we don't use in the lashon of the bracha over here the lashon of pri, right? We say atze besamim, we don't say pri. And Abbas Yosef also doesn't seem to accept this because he writes that the reason why the Maram said didn't say bore nosin rechtov beperos is because it's not like an egos, because it's the egos is the ikar pri, and the kana the kinamon aren't the ikar pri. Now, what does that mean? The cinnamon isn't the ikar pri. So the priest explains what does the Beis Yosef mean? Perush le perusho lefisha etz osa gam peros acherim zulas hakana bekinamon. So besides the cinnamon, there's other peros. In other words, the implication is if the only fruit produced by the cinnamon tree is the cinnamon, then everybody would agree that the bracha is nosim rechtov beperos. Sorry, what I said was totally wrong before. Let's take a step back. The reason it would make sense to explain the svara of the Maharam is because it's not a pre. Because the lush, the brach, you could have objected to the Rush's theory. Again, let's say this back. Let's go back a step. The Rush holds you say nosin rechtov beperos on cinnamon. So it would luchora would make sense if you held like the Mishnah Berurah that a pre means literally a pre. It doesn't just mean coming from a tree, but it's a pre. So then it would make sense to say that the reason why the Maharam didn't say nosin rechtov beperos is because it's a bark. The cinnamon comes from a bark. It's not a pre, right? That's why he didn't want to say it. That lechora would have, if the Mishnah Berurah is correct in his interpretation of sugar, so you could say the same svara with respect to cinnamon, except that the Beis Yosef doesn't say that reason. The Beis Yosef says the reason why cinnamon is not Re'atov Beperos, according to the Maram, is because there's some other pre on the cinnamon tree that's the Ikar HaPri. Now, it is true that cinnamon trees do produce some type of berries. I don't think these are really the Ikar pre nowadays. So if the Beis Yosef's understanding of the Maram is right, then the Maram would agree to the Rush nowadays. If my understanding of the Maram is correct, so then the Maram would still disagree. So maybe there's a raya that the Mishnah Berurah's theory about pri is wrong, right? We pointed out that it's a very big chiddush. No Rishon says it explicitly. The Mishnah Berurah is medayik in the Rambam. But maybe this is another kasha on the Mishnah Berurah. Now, maybe another reason why the Mishnah Berurah doesn't want to say my theory, or the Beis Yosef doesn't want to say my theory, is because the brach, we don't say hanosin reach tov bepri, we say hanosin reach tov beperos, shanosin reach tov beperos, which could be kolo pri hadam as well. Anyway, what's interesting, by the way, is that the Rash writes over here that the bracha is hanosin reach tov bepri hadam. But if you look at the way the Torah quotes the Rash, he just says beperos. So why is that? So L'chora the Torah understood that the Rush didn't mean that's the words. The Rush wasn't making up a bracha. He was just defining it. This is a pre-hadama. But the actual Lashon, you would say, is beperos. Anyway, so based off of this analysis, you could argue that nowadays you could L'kuliyama, you would make the bracha of Hanosin Re'achtov beperos, because the cinnamon is the Ikar HaPri. Okay, so here's an interesting shaila. And I'm happy that Abba came on to hear this shaila, because he would appreciate it. So my wife told me that when your daughters are in Shidduchim and the guys come over, so if you want to make your house smell like it's a very Hamish house, a very good smell. So you should bake apples. Why? Because baked apples in the oven, they smell really, really good. I mean, not just the baked apples, but the whole house smells delicious. So when she told me this story, she wasn't suggesting that we do that. Our house always smells delicious anyway. But in theory, you know. So I was thinking, oh, that presents a good shiloh. You know, when the boy comes over, you want to see if he knows Hilchos Brachos, at least knows halacha. So you put food in front of him. So as Abba could remember, I didn't take any of the food. So you need another way to test the boys to see if they're not going to eat the food that you give them, you offer them. So then, so how are you going to test them? So the way is by Birkas Harech, to see, you know, when they walk into this house that smells like baked apples, will they make a bracha? So let's talk about it. So Shulchora, should you make a bracha? You walk into the house, it smells like baked apples, you're machaving l'hariach, let's say. We'll talk about it a little later when we get to some Reshid Zayin, what if you're not machaving l'hariach? But let's hear here, right? So here it's meant to produce the smell, right? It's like the perfume merchants who spray their store. And the taka smells good, and you're machaving l'hariach. So l'chora, you should make the bracha of hanosein riach tov beperos. Now, what's interesting is the Mishnah Brura asks the Shaila, why don't we make the bracha of hanosein riach tov beperos for olive oil that has a good smell? Remember, the Rambam, this is Machlokas, how to read the Gemara at the bottom of Mem Gimel Mem Aleph, but the Rambam understands it's talking about olive oil that smells good. And still the Gemara says, what bracha do you make? Boreatze b'samin. So why not? Why, l'chora, the correct bracha would be hanosein riach tov beperos. So he answers that ein hareach gadol imam elabal yedei ksisha v'tchina shenaseis bidei adam. Therefore, ein shach levar hanosein riach tov beperos. Ah. In other words, when do we make the bracha hanosein riach tov beperos? Something like an esrog that on its own smells amazing. You don't have to do anything to make the esrog smell amazing. It smells delicious. But when it comes to apples, so maybe some apples are very fragrant, like Tosfos mentions, but most of our apples, if you just, you know, don't have any smell. But if you bake them, oh, now they smell really good. So according to the Svara of the Mishnah Brura, you only make the bracha of Nosein Reach Tov Beperos for fruits that on their own smell good. So then, if the kid, you know, for showing up for the date, he makes a Boreatze B'samim, you'll know that he hasn't learned Mishnah Brura. Because l'cha'ora, you should make a atze b'samim, according to the Mishnah Brura's interpretation of the Rambam. But it's not so clear. I don't know if bali de'afia is the same thing. In other words, maybe it's when it comes al de'iksisha to bring out the aroma, so then it's then it loses the nosein riach tov v'peros. Is afia different? You just put it in the oven and they start smelling good. So it's a little bit of a suffix. I'm not sure. So if the kid, either bracha he makes, we'll let him get away with it. Or maybe even mine b'samim. Now, that Mishnah Brura, though, I thought was an interesting point for a different reason, which is, so what bracha do you make, even though it involves all sorts of human intervention to make it smell good? What bracha do you make? The bracha of borei atzei b'samim. This is Mishnah Brura, by the way, Sif Katan Chaf Hei. Now, this goes against my understanding of Shlomo Zalman by synthetic smells. Remember, we talked about last time, Shlomo Zalman is mesupik about what bracha you make on synthetic smells. And the question is, why? Why wouldn't you make a borei mine b'samim on synthetic smells? So we thought maybe it's because the Lashon of Borei is inappropriate, because Hashem didn't make the smell good. Humans made it smell good through chemistry. So therefore, the Lashon of Borei is incorrect. And we had our theory that this might depend on the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban, how to understand the word Borei. According to the Rambam, Borei means even indirect. According to the Ramban, means direct. That was our theory last time. But l'chora, according to the Mishnah Brura, you should make a lashon of borei mine b'samim, because borei does allow for human intervention, right? As lashon is, you could say borei atze b'samim. Why? Ein hareach gadol imam ela baidek sisha utchina shenazes b'dei adam. So you can't say hanosein reach tov b'peros, but you could say borei atze b'samim. So it turns out that Borei is an appropriate nusach when it comes to things that are only realized through human intervention. So now I don't understand at all why you wouldn't make a lashon of Borei mine besamim for synthetic smells. So, tzarchia. I'll make one other interesting related point. We mentioned last time we did this, the Ashkenazi minhag, that at Havdalah, we all Ashkenazim always make a borei mine besamim. Not like Sfardim. Sfardim make, if it's atzei besamim, if it's hadasim, then you make atzei besamim. Isve besamim, you make isve besamim. You make the correct bracha. But Ashkenazim, because we don't know so much what's, you know, what's an, I guess they don't learn hochos brachos. They don't know what's atzei, what's isve. Maybe they just don't know what things like chilfe diyamar and simulak, whatever it is. So we always make a mine besamim just at Avdala. Any other time you'd make the correct bracha at Avdala, but you make mine besamim. Now, l'chorah, that's a very, very shver minuk, right? People, you're making the wrong bracha. The halacha is you make a borei atzei besamim. You know, it's like taking an apple and making a shahakal. That's true that it works. Okay. But why would we ever have this minuk to do so l'chatchila if it's really the wrong bracha? So I thought maybe this makes more sense if you hold like the Torah's understanding of the Rambam in Sif Yud. What was that? So if you remember in Sif Yud, that there's a question, what if a person has Atzei Besamim and Mine Besamim and Issei Besamim, what should you do? So the Torah understood the Rambam as saying you make a borei mine besamim, right? I have hadasim and I have mint and I have musk. What do? I just make a borei mine besamim and I pater all three. That's what I should do. Even l'chatchila, according to the Rambam, is understood by the Torah. Now, the Beis Yosef rejected this understanding of the Rambam. He said, why? Maishna from shahakol. We know we don't say that by shahakol, right? When you have a candy and a tomato and an apple, we don't say shahakol in all three. We make three brachos. So the Beis Yosef says the same thing should be true when it comes to smells. And he says, Al Karachach, the Rambam writes, understands that Mine Besamim is not like Shehakol. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. The Torah, how would the Torah respond to the Beis Yosef's Kasha? The Torah would say back that the Rambam holds, at the very least, that Mine Besamim is not like a Shehakol. Really, it's the correct bracha on anything that has a nice smell. There is a bracha that's more mevurar, and if you're just having that, so then you make the more mevurar bracha. But l'maisa mine besamim is the correct bracha, right? And that's why the Rambam would say that if you're having three things, just make a mine besamim. And the Beis Yosef disagrees. The Beis Yosef disagrees with the Tur Bedasa Rambam. He holds that there's no machlokus between the Rambam and Ravan Rambam. Even according to the Rambam, you should make aze besamim and mine besamim and nisve besamim, make three brachos. But if you look at the Rambah, Sif Yud, he writes that if you make on all of them Mine Besamim, you're Yotze. What's Mashma? What? Mashma, I think, B'diavad. So that's going to be going against my theory in the Tvim Yashiv the Minog. Right? In other words, I got very excited about this Yishuv. I thought, finally, I understand why we make a Mine Besamim, because we hold like the Torah Savan of the Rambam. But the Rambam himself, if you, it doesn't sound like that, because the Rambam writes, sounds like only B'diavad, if you make Mine Besamim, does it work. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Lamed Zayin, he says, we don't paskin like the Torah B'dasa Rambam. And just like you're not allowed to make Shehakol L'chatchila on an apple, so too, you can't make a Mine Besamim on Hadas, so the Minog Shver. So, maybe I thought a shtickel sniff, shtickel raya to smach, at least to justify my theory in the minug, is to answer up the kasha of the Magen Avram Sifkat on your test. The Magen Avram asked, according to the Rush, by Einber Hossein Shavos, you could be mocked in whichever one you want, right? By let's say fruits and vegetables, which one comes first? Whatever you want. You could have Adama, Ha'etz. And it doesn't matter if there's a Chaviv. Even if there's not a Chaviv, even if there is a Chaviv, I like apples better than tomatoes, I could still make the bracha on the tomato. That's what the Rush writes. But what's strange is, as the Magen Avraham notes, that when it comes to Hadas and Shemen, which are also in Birchos and Shavos, the Rush says you should be Makdim the Hadas because it's more Chashav. So Tarchi and Maishna, right? In other words, why is it when it comes to fruits, we don't say the Chashav comes first when Ein Birchos Ein Shavos, but when it comes to smells, we do. So I thought maybe the pshat is that all brachos on smells are more closely related to each other, and therefore makes sense to be makdim. Now, even though Ein Birchos Ein Shavos, they're sort of like Birchos Ein Shavos. Why? Because Minei B'Samim is really for all of them. L'mashal l'ma davar domeh. Remember, we saw that according to the Rush, even though Ein Birchos Ein Shavos, there's no kedima for chashav, but if they're both in a Shivas Aminim, then we say the one earlier in the Pasuk comes first, even though Ein Birchos Ein Shavos. So what's the pshat in that? Why should that be? So according to what we're saying now, it's very medir. Why is that true? Because there's a tzara shava shivei nehem when they're all Shivas Aminim, and therefore we go back to the rules of Kedima, even though Ein Birchos Ein Shavos. So too here, there's a tzara shava for all Birchos Areach, and therefore even Ein Birchos Ein Shavos, there's Kedima. And that works very nicely if you hold in my theory that in the tour Bidas HaRambam, that Minei B'Samim works for everything, even L'chatchila. The reason is because they're much more closely linked. Okay, maybe that's a nice shot for the Minhag Olam, but again, it doesn't seem to work for the Ramah or the Mishnah Berurah. They don't like my theory. So what's their shot? I suppose what they'll have to say, I suppose that therefore you should really follow what the Mishnah Berurah says. Mishnah Berurah says, even though it's true that Ashkenazim make Minei B'Samim no matter what they use, they should really pick something that's Bori Minei B'Samim. In other words, it's not appropriate for Ashkenazim to use a Hadasim for B'Samim or an Esrog for B'Samim. I know some people that like to use Esrogim at least after Sukkot. You know, the whole Sukkot, they've been waiting up. They wanted to smell their Esrog and make a bracha and they couldn't. So now they no, it's not the right thing to do. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Why? Because really you should pick something that the correct bracha is Minei B'Samim. That's why I think the most common thing to use for B'Samim is Neglach. Why? Even though that too was a debate. According to the Mechaber, the correct bracha on cloves is Atzei B'Samim. But as the Mishnah Berurah points out, we paskin that you would make a Minei B'Samim. And that's because even though cloves are eaten, they're not really edible on their own, only through the type of preparation. Minei B'Samim is correct bracha on cloves. And therefore, that's why we choose to use cloves, let's say, as opposed to cinnamon, for Havdalah. Okay, that was Sif Yud, sorry, I went out of order. Turning back to Sif Vav. Sif Vav also relates to a Simon Reish Yud Zayin. And it's very confusing, actually. So I'll just maybe try to summarize the different positions here in the Rishonim and the Poskim, because they got me confused at least. So the Torah in Simon Reish Tez Zayin has three shitos, what bracha you make on perfumed oil where you strain the perfume. In other words, I put some type of fragrant plant in my oil, and the oil absorbed the fragrance, but then I filtered out the fragrant plant. Now all that's left is oil. So what bracha do you make? So the Torah has three views. You first quote the Ravid, that you make a Minei B'Samim if the fragrant plant was still in it. Let's say it's Atzei B'Samim, then you'd make a Bari Atzei B'Samim. But once you strained out the fragrant plant, you make a Minei B'Samim. The second opinion is you make a bracha of Borei Shemen Arev. Why? Because really, what are you smelling? The oil. The plant is gone, and the oil smells good. And finally, the third view, he writes, is Ein Mevarchin Alav Klal. Why? Because it's Ein Bo Mamish, meaning to say that the true source for this fragrance in the oil is the plant that you put into it, and the plant is gone. So it's true the oil still smells good, but that's Reach Ein Bo Mamish, and therefore there's no bracha at all. So the Beis Yosef writes, you know whose this third opinion it is? I'll tell you who it is. It's the Rambam, Perek Tes, Halacha Ches. The Rambam writes that if I perfume my clothing, meaning to say I want my clothing to smell good, so I make incense and I dry the clothing over the incense. Now I have incensed clothing. No bracha is made. Even though I'm chamin for the reyach, why shouldn't I make a bracha? The Rambam says this is a reyach shein lo iker. In other words, what's left from the incense? Nothing. The clothing are just clothing. They smell good. So the Rambam says to make a bracha, you need birkas reyach. You need iker. You need something tangible that smells. That's the source of the smell. If you have nothing that is the source of the smell, no bracha at all. The Shartzian points out there's also the view of the Ritva and the Ra'ah, at least the one opinion of Yesh Omrim there. We saw this in the Gemara on the bottom of Gemara Aleph. This is the view of the Ritva and the Ra'ah, that you need, according to one view there, that you need Yesh Bo Mamish. They even went so far as to say that in the case of the burning the incense itself, the mugmar itself, if the incense is all gone and all that's left is the smoke and the ashes, you wouldn't even make a bracha. Even that's considered an lo iker. So that's actually also could be this third opinion. But the Beis Yosef, as the Shartzian points out, he didn't have the ritva, ra'ah. So he attributes this third view that you don't make a bracha also to the Rambam. The Beis Yosef also points out there's actually a fourth view. That's Rabbeinu Hananel quoted in Tosus for Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Hananel holds you make a bori atzeh besanin on this oil, even though you're misanin the eitzim. But still, the true original source of the smell is the eitzim. So you make atzeh besanin. So again, what bracha do you make on oil, perfumed oil, where the source has been removed? Four opinions. Ravid says minei besanin. Second opinion says shemen arev. Third opinion, no bracha at all. Fourth opinion, borei atzi b'samim. So how do we paskin? So look at the Shulchan Aruch Vav. He says, v'em sinenu v'hotzi mimenu ha-b'samim yesh omrim shem v'varech borei shemen arev yesh omrim shem v'varech alav klal dehave reach she'em lo iker v'kem shesafek hu nachal nizar mil ha-riach b'safek, don't make a bracha at all. But he's misafek. He brings down two vinyans. He brings down the Rambam and the non-Rambam. He quotes opinion number 2 and 3, interestingly enough. Okay. That's the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber's Psak. So the Bach says this is a big problem. Why? Because then there's a steer in the Shulchan Aruch. Why? In Simon Reish Yud Zion Sif Gimel, by Mugmer, by the perfumed clothing, the Beis Yosef was Machria like the Rambam, that Enam Avarech Lefishain Lo Iker. Now, according to the Beis Yosef, this is the same Shita, right? The Shita that on perfumed oil, where the fragrance, the source has been removed, is the same position as the Rambam. So in Simon Reish Tazayin, what's the Torah, what's the Shulchan Aruch Paskening about Reach Shein Lo Iker? Safek. And in Simon Reish Yud Zayin, what's he Paskening like? Vadei Enam Avarech. I could say that what he paskins in Simon Reish Yud Zayin is Machmas Safek. In other words, in Reish Tes Zayin, he brought down both Shitos, and the halacha is going to be Safek Brachos Lahakal, and therefore in Reish Yud Zayin, he doesn't bring down both Shitos. He just says, Stam, you shouldn't make the bracha. That's a possibility, but it's difficult, right? It's not a real consistent view. So therefore, the Bach writes that Al Karchecha, the Beis Yosef was Choser, and in the Shulchan Aruch. And in his conclusion, he held that you can't compare Begadim to Shemen. In other words, who is the Shita Shlishis in Reish Tazayin? It's not the Rambam, it's the Ra'ah, Siyesh Omrim and the Ra'ah. But it could be that the Rambam would agree by oil. And the Bach is Medayik that the Rambam would agree by oil, because the Rambam indicates that you would make a bracha, it's Parshas Shavuah, something that's similar to Shemen HaMishcha. Now, in Shemen HaMishcha, you are misanein the besamim, just oil. You filter out the spices. And yet the Rambam says you make a bracha. So you see that in the end of the day, the Rambam holds, not like the Beis Yosef's initial Havana, that Shemen is different. Why is Shemen different than Begadim? Because when it comes to Begadim, they never had the actual davar shel ikker, right? It was only the reyach from the scratch, from the start. Mashen came by shemen. Originally, it did have the ikker habosem. It was removed, but it came from the ikker. In other words, oil is much more likely to be, let's say, boreasei besamim than clothing. Clothing never, it's not like you put the cinnamon into your clothing and then you washed it out, but it still smells like cinnamon, right? No, it never had anything but the smoke. So therefore, that's considered ein lo iker. So that's the way the Bach understands the Shita of the Beis Yosef. Now, what's so interesting is that the Darkei Moshe, this is Reish Yud Zayin Sif Katan Aleph, is medayek from the Tur that it's exact opposite of the Shulchan Aruch. How so? Again, let's just say clearly, the Shulchan Aruch held that Shemen is not considered ein lo iker, but clothing are considered ein lo iker, right? So Shemen might get a bracha, clothing don't get a bracha. In the Tur, you see mamish fakert. Why? Because in Siman Reish Yud Zayin, the Tur was docha shitas Rambam by the perfumed clothing. He thought, of course you make a bracha on begadim hamugmarim. Yet by Shemen Shesinino, he brought this third shita that's ein lo iker. He didn't reject it. He didn't question it. And Taka the Beis Yosef, Siman Reish Yud Zayin, also asked that question. He asked the kasha on the Tur. Why is the Tur okay with Siman Reish Tes Zayin, but object to Siman Reish Yud Zayin? So what do you see? I'll call upon him. You see the opposite of the Bach, right? By the Besamim, it's less likely to make a bracha. Why? Because whatever was put in was taken out. They strained it out. But by the Besamim Shenisrafu, and then you got the perfumed clothing. So the way the Darkei Moshe says it is that the spices were neshapchu the nasu reyach. In other words, you turn the smell into reyach, and since you've turned the smell into reyach, and you're smelling that, so that's mamish the smell in the clothing. I can't say I fully understand exactly the mitzias of what he means, but l'chora the idea is that when it comes to the shemen, you're not smelling the besamim at all. You're smelling the oil. The besamim made the oil smell good, but it's not the besamim. So therefore, maybe there's no brach at all. That's considered ein lo iker. It's only a derivative. But when it comes to mugmar, so the eish turns the besamim into smoke, and that smoke actually enters the clothing, and it's still there, and therefore it's a little bit less of a derivative. It's not just a derivative. In a certain sense, it's yesh lo iker, and therefore it warrants a bracha. And maybe a shtickle raya to that is that even though the Ra'ah holds that we don't make a bracha on mugmar im nisraf ha'iker, like we said, the Mishnah Berurah says we don't accept that at all, right? It's against all the Rishonim. We hold that even if the iker is totally burnt, we still make the bracha. And that's because the smoke is the iker reyach, whereas we don't look at it as a derivative. Anyway, so now we can go back to the Shita of the Beis Yosef. He, Lagabe Shemen, he is Misupik, but Lagabe Mugbar, he's Machriya Shalol Levarich. Again, the opposite of the Torah. So if you take a look at the Bir Halacha, Reish Yud Zayin Sif Gimel, Dimasal Ella, he writes that Begadim Mugmarim are worse than Mugmar, because Mugmar, again, like we said, the Lagachelis is Kayim, and therefore, it's surely no bracha. Okay. Turning to Sif Yud Aleph. So the Gemara Mem Gemal Beis of the following Shaila. If you'll find out, Shemen Vehadas. Beishamai says, first you make the bracha on the Shemen, Bore Shemen Arev, and then you make the bracha on Hadas. Why? The bracha bori atzi b'samen. Beisil says, no, fakir. First you make the bracha on hadas, then you make the bracha on the shaman. So what's the reason for this machloka? So the Gemara says, the reason for beishamai. What's the reason? Because shaman is better, because zachinu l'reach and l'sicha. Shaman has two milos, two ways of getting hana, the reicho and the sicho. Mashen kin hadas just has one hana through the smelling. So the Gemara actually doesn't tell you what the Sfar of Beis Hillel is. Why did he think Hadas comes first? But the Ritva explains that Hadas is better because Guf Ha'et Hanosin Es Hareach, right? In other words, that's here, the true source. Whereas Shemen, like we said, Shemen is in a certain sense a derivative. or it's a kavush bo, the reach mevusam is kavush bo. You're not actually smelling the smell, you're smelling the oil. Okay. Now, all that makes sense if we're talking about what type of oil? Mishcha kvisha, like Rashi explained in that Gemara and the Ritva. If you take a look at the Torah, though, Siman Reish Tazayin, Sif Yud Aleph, he says, what type of oil are we talking about? Shemen Afar Simon. So by Shemen Afar Simon, you can't have that svara of the Ritva because the Shemen itself smells good, right? It's not coming from something else that was infused in it. It itself smells good. So the Elia Rabba, Sif Katan Yud Tes, already writes this, makes this point. He writes, Ulai Savarle, Begam Shemen Afar Simon Lave, Levusem Be'ene Neger Hadas, V'dochak Mo. It's very hard to figure out what the svara is for Beis Hillel once you learn like the Torah. So Mishabura, Sifkat Memdalad answers that even if we're talking about a farsimon, Yesh Lahachtim Hadas, Mishum Shehu Kebriyaso, the Kai Begufo Chashiv Tvei. Bria Lachadam's in this, but that's the svar. Okay, we're running out of time. At the end of our simon, we have the discussion of the bracha on Esrog Shel Mitzvah. So I guess we'll just talk about that briefly. And then next time, on Tuesday, we'll have a short shiur on Siman Reish Yud Zayin. There are some very yisodistic inyanim that come up in Reish Yud Zayin. And then we'll start the new parak on Thursday, Bezrat Hashem. So going back to Esrog Shel Mitzvah. So we already know, we talked about when we did this shiur, the Sugyos Al Hadaf, a very, very important machlokas about when you would make a bracha on a fragrant fruit, if you're also happen to eating the fruit. In other words, if you're not eating the fruit, you're just mechanel l'reach. So then the Gemara says explicitly, the bracha is hanosin reach tov v'peros. What about it? And if you're just eating it without intending to smell, everybody also agrees you wouldn't make the bracha. You'd make a break for your eats and you'd eat your fruit. You wouldn't make any bracha on the reach. But what about if I'm eating it and also mechavin l'hariach? So this is a debate. The Rush, and this is the psak of the Shulchan Aruch, holds that you make two brachos. You'd make a bracha on the reach and a bracha on the eating. And the Rush holds, sorry, the Beis Yosef holds, this is also the view of Tosfos. The Torah quotes this from Tosfos, actually. And the Beis Yosef writes, this is Tosfos, this is the Rush. There's no machlekes. However, we saw that the Gra says, no, Tosfos disagrees with this. Tosfos, both on Amud Aleph, as we talked about, and also on the base, extensively, we discussed this last time, holds that the only time you make a bracha is when you're only mechavin l'hariach. But if you're also mechavin l'achila, then what bracha do you make? Only the bori pri ha'eitz. So we talked about last time, if you remember on the Shirma al-Hadaf, actually, we had a ha'ara, because we didn't know how the Gra learned that from Rashi, right? The Gra was medayik that from Rashi at the end of the parak. I guess we don't have time to explain it, but I think I came up with a pshat. I'll tell you another time how the Gra figured that out from Rashi. Last time we left off with Akasha. Anyway, so according to Rashi and Tosfos, you would make, even though you're machavin also lahariach, you don't make a bracha if you're also eating it. One svara might be ikr protos atafel. The other svara is that since the ikr designation is for achila, so then the bracha is always an achila. Now, what's very interesting is as follows. Even though, like we said, the mechaber paskins like the Rush, that if you're mechavein l'achila l'ariach, you make two brachos, and that's the psak and the Shulchan Aruch. When it comes to esrog, he quotes a machlokas, and therefore he says better not to be meriach. What do I mean to say? When it comes to Esrog Shel Mitzvah, the Torah quotes two opinions. The Avi Ezri says, if you make smell it, you make a bracha. And Rabbeinu Simcha says, it's lav l'ariach avid, lav l'ariach avid, and v'hameriach bo enu mevarach. So at first glance, you might say, oh, this is the machlokas, Rush and Tosfos. The opinion that says you make a bracha, the Avi Ezri, is like the Rush, that if you're eating it and you're smelling it, you make two brachos. The opinion that says you don't make a bracha, Rabbeinu Simcha is like Tosfos. You might have said that way. But that's clearly not the way the Beis Yosef was learning. Why? Because the Beis Yosef only quotes the view of the Rush by lechol v'lariach, but here in the Shulchan Aruch, when it comes to esrog shel mitzvah, he cites the machlokas and he says, therefore, it's better not to smell your esrog at all to avoid the shaila. So what's the difference between sifya dalid and the case of smelling the fruit? So l'chora, so not clear what the difference is. So we have different opinions here. The Bir Halacha, I'll start with the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says, it's only talking about a case when you're not coming to be, to smell it. You're now being yotzei the mitzvah. But let's say you're yotzei your mitzvah, now you want to smell it later. You're done the mitzvah, now you want to make a bracha and smell your esrog. Everybody would agree you could smell your esrog and make a bracha. That's the view of Magen Avraham. And that's the view that the Bir Halacha thinks is correct. The Bir Halacha quotes another view that he doesn't like. The other view says, no, it's huksa l'mitzvah. And therefore, throughout Sukkot, you can't make the bracha. Why not? What's wrong with that? Well, that sounds like a good shot. The answer is because it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says huksa l'mitzvah. Huksa l'mitzvah is only with respect to achila, not with respect to reyach. Because there's no stira between eating it and between smelling it and being yotzei the mitzvah. So you're not makzed from that. When it comes to eating it, you're makzed from eating it. Because if you eat your restaurant, then it's a stira to the mitzvah, right? But when it comes to smelling it, as you could do both. After all, time stands, you're not makzed mireach. It's mutter to be mireach. So what do all these achronim mean when they say that you can't smell it because you're makzed from that? So l'chora the pshat is perhaps they don't mean formally huksa l'mesfaso. What they mean is something along the lines of the Chazon Ish and the Gra maybe. The Chazon Ish, as we talked about extensively, holds that something can't have dual citizenship. It can't be designated for two things. So when it comes to the esrog, for all of Sukkot, it's designated for the mitzvah. And therefore, you don't make a bracha. Not that it's aser to smell, it's mutter to smell. It's not huksa from reyach, but it's designated for the mitzvah. So memela no bracha of reyach is said. And that's, like we said, the simple reading of the Gemara daf nun gimel on the base. Nun gimel on aleph. But the, so that's this opinion. Halach l'maisa, because of this debate, a person should not smell their esrog throughout Sukkot. If you want to make a bracha on your esrog before Sukkot, that would be okay, because then you could designate it for reyach and gimkorn chazon ish. Afterwards, it's okay. But during Sukkot l'chora, it is better not to smell your esrog so as to avoid the shaila. Okay, so I know you guys have already started the seventh parak, which is really, really great. But if you want just a heads up, what we're going to be talking about on Tuesday for Siman Reish Yud Zayin, we're going to talk about Hesach Hadas, which comes up in the Magen Avraham, Sifkatan base. But it's really a very kliyistic inyan. The Magen Avraham is talking about the context of when you go into a spice store and you leave. So if you come back without Hesach Hadas, you do make a new bracha. If you have, you don't make a new bracha. If you had Hesach Hadas, you do. What is Hesach Hadas? How long? What if I leave my spice store and I'm planning to come back 2 hours later, but I'm planning the whole time? Do I make a bracha? The Magen Avraham says, la'alter. The Magen Avraham, though, tells us, Kedarka Rakodesh, we have to look at everywhere else where this is discussed. And the Magen Avraham specifically invokes two more places that we need to look up. Simin Tafri Shlamites and Simin Ches. What are they talking about? And the Meiri also brings both of these up, actually. They come up, one is with respect to sukkah, right? Very common question. You're sitting in your sukkah, and you step out. When you return, you have to make a new bracha. What's considered Hesach Hadas in sukkah? And number two is a tzitzis, right? If I take off my tzitzis for a little bit and I put them back on, do I need to make a new bracha? Let's say a person's taking a shower. Friday afternoon, they take a shower. They take off their tzitzis, they take a shower and this and that. You know, it's 20 minutes before they put it on again. Do they make a new bracha? Right? Is that Hesach Hadas? Even if you don't make a bracha in the morning because you cover it by your talis gadol, but that won't help over here. So do you make a new bracha? What's considered Hesach Hadas for tzitzis, for sukkah, and for birkas areyach? So that's one thing we're going to talk about. We'll talk about some other small things. There's also an interesting issue that the next Magen Avraham, Sifkan Gimel, brings up, Maishna from Shinui Makom. That's worth thinking about and looking into. Maybe we'll talk about Simon Gimel, Sif Gimel, the Rambam, and the Tour. Basically, I don't know. We'll talk about some other things also, but those are the two main topics we'll talk about. So it's going to be a very short shiur on Tuesday, maybe only 20 minutes or so, 15 minutes. Yosef's laughing. We'll see who's right. And then the Thursday, Be'ezus Hashem, will start the new parak. Okay, have a good day.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you. Cool.